KBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Allbear. An Idaho prison inmate and an accomplice who helped him escape are back in custody and suspected in two killings.
Skylar Mead and Nicholas Umfenauer were found in Twin Falls, about 130 miles southeast of Boise. Authorities finding that gray Honda used in the escape abandoned, and they are now investigating two homicides in separate locations that they believe are linked to the escape.
Victor Akendo in Boise. Two juveniles who escaped while being transported to a youth detention center in Augusta, Georgia, are back in custody. Authorities say the teens knocked out a deputy and escaped into the woods. During a press conference with Egypt's foreign minister, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said an Israeli ground incursion in Rafah could worsen the humanitarian conditions there. A federal appeals court ordered the judge who oversaw Boston Marathon bomber Jakar Sanariv's trial to investigate defense claims of juror bias. This is ABC News. 10 Ukrainian pilots are the first to graduate from UK Royal Air Force flight training. They'll now progress to advanced flight training with the French Air Force. The last of the former Mississippi Sheriff's deputies has been sentenced in the case of the torture of two black men.
Joshua Hartfield, the last of the six white Mississippi officers convicted of torturing, brutalizing, and humiliating two black men last year, was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Hartfield, a canine officer, received the lowest sentence of the six. The highest was 40 years. In court, Hartfield apologized to victims Michael Jenkins and Eddie Parker, saying he should have stepped in to protect them and that, "I'm sorry, will never be enough for what they went through." The officers were a so-called goon squad, who prosecutors say not only targeted the men, shooting one of them in the mouth in a mock execution, but then tried to cover up their crimes. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Winter may be officially over, but the snow is not. Parts of Montana, the Dakotas, Minnesota, Illinois, and Wisconsin are under winter weather advisories. Daria Allbinger, ABC News.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite Buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But, like, when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
That's like to a former
Drew.
Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is challenging thousands of signatures in a petition looking to force a recall election against him, while the state Supreme Court is deciding whether the signatures need to come from the maps he was elected on or the state's new legislative maps. Voss says they're short either way. He says that nearly 100 pages of signatures have a litany of errors and should be tossed. A former associate of former Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani is accusing Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson of spreading misinformation about President Biden's family at the Russian government's behest.
Senator Ron Johnson was our guy in the Senate. He was told to me that when we push the information, he's going to push it in the halls of Congress.
That's Lev Parnas testifying at Biden's impeachment hearing Wednesday. Johnson's office says the claim is baseless. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost to the Celtics 122-119. Milwaukee trailed by 15 for most of the game, but closed to within a point in the final minutes. Head coach Doc Rivers after the game.
Yeah, it was one of those games where they kept getting the lead. We kept fighting back. So you love that. Like, we did keep fighting. You know, we end up shooting the ball better than them tonight. I thought our zone was really effective. Mixing back, zone man. Just it made them hesitate what they were running.
Tonight it's the Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum.
March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready to take on James Madison University, 8:40 tomorrow night. Head coach Greg Gard on what stands out on the tape.
The diversity and the depth that they play with, about nine guys, and you can tell they've got, you know, Friedel has been around the game, Bickerstaff's been around the game, Edwards, they're all older guys.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter weather advisory goes into effect in the overnight. We'll see total accumulations across the area between 2 to 5, even 6 inches of snowfall before it's all said and done. Overnight lows in the mid-20s. Afternoon highs Friday in the middle 30s. Right now it's 28.
Hey, it's John Mino. On Friday Show, Christian Dennis are here with the weekend What's Up, plus live music right from our studio. Mino and the Mayor, morning 6 till 9 on WISS and WGBW.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, they are, Digga. You are right. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, it's Thursday, and we have our friend Robert Lilligren on in just a minute here. Hey, Robert, we're going to, the governor of Wisconsin always seems to want to send us something on your day, so we're going to have to listen to him. Just kidding. All right, hey, before we get any further here, I want to introduce, we're going to have a snowzilla here coming up here, so we're going to have 2 to 3 inches, and nobody's used to the snow, so everyone's buying toilet paper and everything and hunkering down, and we're going to have Robert Lilligren on here, and then Haley and I are going to chat and maybe reach out to people later on the show if they want to call in and tell how great a job Haley does, so we're gonna do that. But first, what we want to do is get our report from the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers. Let's take a look.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers here with some very exciting news. The first daily oral contraceptive pill for use without a prescription is hitting the store shelves and online retailers across Wisconsin. That contraception, known as Opill, was approved by the FDA for use last summer. Today, folks across our state are going to be able to access the birth control they need without having to get a doctor's prescription to get it. That's great news, but that's not all. As I announced in my State of the State address earlier this year, I've directed the Department of Health Services to issue a standing order to allow Badger Care Plus members to pick up Opill from any Wisconsin Medicaid-enrolled pharmacy without a prescription and at no out-of-pocket cost to them. This builds upon our standing order from earlier this year that did the same thing for over-the-counter emergency contraception. Starting Monday, March 18th, Badger Care Plus members can walk into any Wisconsin Medicaid-enrolled pharmacy without a prescription, pick up daily contraception or emergency contraception, and they'll be able to leave the pharmacy with the medication they need at no out-of-pocket cost, and that's a big deal, folks. This is an exciting milestone in our work to protect and expand reproductive freedom in Wisconsin. I believe every Wisconsinite should be able to access the health care they need when they need it. And yes, that includes access to a broad range of contraception options. So we're going to keep working to make sure folks can access the reproductive health care they need wherever and whenever it's convenient for them. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, thank you, Governor Evers, for that great report. And, you know, he just totally makes sense, and we really appreciate our neighbor, Governor Tony Evers. Hey, we are here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute here in a White Earth Ojibwe, and we don't hold that against him. Welcome, Robert.
Yep, there's a lot of us around, Robert. Yeah,
I better be careful.
Right.
Exactly. So it seems like I talk to you all the time, but not really. It's great to see you. And we love
that. In the office this week. That was nice.
Yeah. You guys have it going on. I'm really always impressed with how open your doors are, but also how hard your people work. And we talked about this a long time ago on the show, but just the change that that you implemented with Help with Outside about how people take care of themselves and how much more they are productive by doing that. Talk about that just a little bit.
Well, first off, thanks for your bonjour, Haley, bonjour, Robert. Great to see you. Always great to be with you. Thanks for the kind words about the organization and the caliber of people that work there. You know, when I first started, we were a staff of three. That was almost 7 years ago. Now we're a staff of 12. And we took several years to plan for growth and then growth. But I'll tell you, when COVID hit, everything kind of changed. And so suddenly when we were working remotely and trying to figure out all that out and kind of work dynamics, and thanks to the resources of a local nonprofit, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, they deployed one of their artists in residence to meet with Native organizational leadership early in the pandemic, just to kind of cope. And it was Linda Eagle speaker. I'm guessing you know her, local elder cultural carrier, brilliant. And she had this curriculum that worked around this image of her tradition, Plains tradition, of a tribe or a camp moving from a summer camp to from a winter camp to a summer camp. And as Native organizational leads, we were the chiefs of our camps or of our tribes. And so it was very Indigenous framing, Indigenous examples, and it was really kind of harsh. She pushed us to make life and death decisions. And it was so enlightening to me, and it profoundly changed the way I approach my work. And one of the big takeaways, if not the biggest one, was that she said the Indigenous way is to take care of yourself first, your family second, and your community, your organization third. And I really pushed against her, and I'm like, Linda, we're Indigenous, we care for the whole. And she was very patient, and she just kept repeating that, you know, the Indigenous way is take care of yourself first, your family second, your community third. And so I finally just decided to believe her, right? and try to put it into practice. And it was hard, I'll tell you, because it's not how we're conditioned in 21st century America, for sure. But as I did it, I could see how I was becoming more productive and more energetic about my work. And so then taught that to our staff at NACDI, and they resisted it. It's not how any of them were conditioned. But as we indigenized our approach, and people started to care for themselves, then their families, then the organization, I'll tell you, Haley and Robert, it had a transformational impact on our work. So I have all of these super talented Native young professionals in the office that come in knowing, you know, having taken care of themselves, knowing their families are taken care of, and the level of productivity in our office is off the charts.
Wow.
And we're not riding people and saying, get this done. Staff at NACDI just goes. And I'm surprised that more orgs, not just Native orgs, but companies and things, don't work from this perspective. Management often seems punitive, right?
Right.
You're being tracked and watched every second. And man, at NACDI, as you witnessed firsthand, these young Native professionals just deliver.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know we've talked about that. And you just gave us a little more in depth, too, about the process. And I didn't remember that the staff resisted too. But that's an amazing story. And, you know, I keep this story in my hat because who knows where I land in my next job or whatever. But I really appreciate what the process that you guys have taken, and you can tell.
Thanks, Robert. That's really kind. And, you know, we had for years, ever since I've been at NACD, our approach has been to indigenize the way we operate, you know, and we're kind of defining ourselves in a 21st century urban environment. And what does this mean? And so we tried to be deliberate about it. And then even when Linda Eagle's speaker was teaching me, you know, the take care of yourself, then your family, then your community. And I was resisting it. I thought, well, here's a respected and knowledgeable elder telling me this. And if I really believe and embrace the idea of indigenizing our work at NACD, then I have to try it. I have to at least try it. And yeah, it's kind of a little secret, right? I think most of my staff thinks I'm the easiest boss in the world because I'm always encouraging them to take care of themselves and their families. But the little secret is, I get so much more work out of them because of the kind of whole selves that they bring to their work.
Wow, really cool. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're with Robert Lilgren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Minnesota Twin Cities. We'll be right back after this short break. Oh,
we are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As we pack away the ornaments and bid farewell to the holiday season, it's time to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving, getting protected by a COVID-19 vaccination. This is your chance to make a difference, especially as our Native communities face higher COVID numbers. Those higher numbers underscore the need for collective action. So answer the call and get vaccinated. The latest vaccines are not just authorized, but they're proven effective against the current variants. This is extra protection, even if you've already had previous vaccines, since previous vaccines will eventually wear off. Plus, the new shots are FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. A COVID vaccine is not just a shot. It's a pledge to safeguard the wisdom and stories handed down by our elders. So join the movement, get vaccinated, and make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov.
Hi, I'm Ricky Bedlock of Lynyrd Skynyrd, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio right here.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, Okeezy, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, now until April 13th off of Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Right on. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilgren, Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. And we just love having a conversation. You know, one of the things that that made me think of how you run your office and how Linda, Eagle Speaker, brought this in, reminds me of kind of the thought of you have to give it away to keep it too. You know, the altruistic kind of thing. You know, and it's such great conversation.
Agree, and it is kind of similar to that concept. And you know, you hear these ideas, give it away to keep it, or self-care and the importance of caring for yourself. And formally, and I was like, yeah, good idea. You know, we'll see where that would go or something like that. But from my experience anyway, when you really center that in a organizational operation, it has impact. So I can give it a full-throated testimonial.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I sent you a message, Robert. Are you good for another segment, or do you have to bolt up this one?
You know, I thought I had to go, but I'll stay for another segment. I can stay.
Okay, cool. Because yeah, I always feel like we're just getting the meat and potatoes of it, and then you have to go. So I appreciate you being able to hold on again.
My pleasure.
So we'll talk a little bit then in the next segment about what's happening here politically, but what's happening for you and your organization, and what's happening in Minnesota that you see in a good way, or what we need to work on. I just had a nice conversation with one of your guests when you had at my show, the Minneapolis Park Board, and they are really being proactive in a lot of ways, and hopefully that'll help the community.
Agree, and I'm thrilled that you brought that up, and we hadn't prearranged this, but I actually was going to talk about the Minneapolis Park Board.
Oh, come on.
And so, no, I was. I have their Indigenous Reconciliation Action Plan up right in front of me right now. So wow. That was going to kind of be my remarks. And so folks who aren't from here know we have an individual unit of government, our elected Minneapolis Parks and Recs Board, that's responsible for our world-class park system here in the Twin Cities. And over the last few years, I guess, they've been working on, and since passed, what they call their Indigenous Reconciliation Action Plan. And it's just been kind of in my work this week and in my thinking. One of our good friends and colleagues and a former guest here, Carrie Day Aspinwall, my Ojibwe sister, is the park's first Native community liaison. And so she's helping navigate some conversations. NACDI, our organization, is about to go under contract with the parks to help them with some of this Native community engagement. That's a lot of what we do. But I do have to give them some credit. I mean, of course, the proof will be in the pudding, and we'll see what this yields. But they have focus areas of acknowledgement, training, mapping, agreements, workforce development, which I'm really glad is included, design, access, interpretation, action and financial resources, and land stewardship. So they're putting a real framework together to do some work.
And talking to Carrie today, too, things are moving really fast, and that's good to hear from a Native person, because she's boots on the ground with this organization and just came aboard, it sounds like. And I was really excited to hear what they were doing. And also, we were talking about having them on the show. And, you know, I'm pretty softballish when it comes to questions. I don't try to rattle people or to but they welcomed it, which was really interesting. They said, you know, there's controversial stuff going on, and we welcome controversial questions. We can't avoid them.
No, and I like that, right? Truth telling. It's time for some truth telling. And, you know, so that's going on here locally in Minneapolis, in our regional government. And, you know, some folks know I'm a representative, the first Native rep on our Metropolitan Council, which is a 7-county metropolitan governmental unit. And we're a planning agency, so we're starting to prepare for our year 2050 comprehensive plans for all of the communities in the region, setting design guidelines. And while that's going on, we're really integrating a lot of Indigenous perspectives, seeing land and water as relatives. We're convening such a high caliber advisory group, our best and brightest cultural carriers and historians across generations, with an emphasis on the Dakota people, but representation from Ho-Chunk, from Ojibwe mm-hmm. as well. And that will inform these plans for our entire region and center Indigenous voices. And so it parallels what the parks are doing in Minneapolis, our regional government's doing it. And efforts like this, these kind of truth-telling, reconciliation, and then reparation kinds of efforts are happening a lot more than they used to.
Right. You know, one of the things, too, that you mentioned with Met Council, and also what I found out about the Minneapolis Parks and Recs, is that they do a lot of their own their own entity, I should say. They can make decisions and don't have to. They're not down up or they're. If you're talking to them, you're definitely talking to who's making the decision, like the Met Council too, and I imagine other entities in the Minneapolis government specifically, is that they are their own entity. So their parks. They take care of their parks and have their own parks people. And I was really curious about that. And it sounds like, you know, the other organizations, the other 17 organizations that you work with, Robert, are pretty their own people, their own entity.
Yeah, thanks. And I appreciate that. I agree with your observation. And I have to apologize, folks. All of a sudden, my computer fan kicked in. And so I it's kind of loud. I'm not sure why. But yeah, to what you're saying, and you know, to me, in a lot of ways, it's the importance of access, right? When we get more Native voices into these conversations, into these spaces that were not meant to serve us, and in fact, in many cases, were meant to destroy us. Yeah. So once we actually get in there and can start to steer, and you know, another role I play in the community here is as the chair of our convention and visitors association. Mm. And just really, I mean, in conversations almost every day this week, how to use that position of influence to lift up urban Indian tourism here in Minneapolis and in the metropolitan area. And most Native tourism is very government to government, often state government to tribal government. Mm-hmm. And so how in a place like Minneapolis that is so rich with history, American Indian movement was founded here, the pre-European history with the river, the Bedote, where the two rivers come together, Minnesota and Mississippi. And, you know, and how do we lift up this tourism? And it's just really... I feel very fortunate, humbled, and privileged to be in a position where I can help advance that.
Yeah, and I think just putting a teepee outside there would help welcoming Natives. That would be, I don't know if we were joking about that when I was down there, or a chapoteque, and have some recognition. And man, I'll tell you, from my other job, Robert, we're traveling all over the country for these things. Why not come here to Minneapolis and the great convention center that we have, where we can really do a lot of intertribal work?
I agree. And through my work with Meet Minneapolis and then the sports teams here, Vikings, Twins, Lynx, Timberwolves, are very big parts of how we manage or we market our destination. We market the city of Minneapolis. And so, for the work that I do there, I've been connected through Meet Minneapolis to the Vikes team, and I'm going to address a group of visiting media people in April that are all here as part of the Tottenham, and I'm trying to remember their soccer Hotspurs, the Tottenham Hotspurs. So there's social media people that are going to be here. So I'm going to talk to them about the local community and things, again, raise the profile. Yeah. What we've got going on here from a community perspective. But again, it's just those one-off kind of odd opportunities. But then, you know, we'll have these social media people from England that'll go home with a better understanding of what's going on in Indian country, especially urban Indian country. And little things like that can help make changes within the system.
Well, and it's big things because, you know, people vaguely know us for a lot of things in the Native community. Well, like you said, the American Indian movement and all the things that American Indian movement has opened the doors for. And it's great to have a spokesperson like yourself to be able to guide them through that. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren. Native American Community Development Institute and our friend here on Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Daria Allbayer. An Idaho prison inmate and an accomplice who helped him escape are back in custody and suspected in two killings.
Skylar Mead and Nicholas Umfenauer were found in Twin Falls, about 130 miles southeast of Boise. Authorities finding that gray Honda used in the escape abandoned, and they are now investigating two homicides in separate locations that they believe are linked to the escape.
Victor Akendo in Boise. Two juveniles who escaped while being transported to a youth detention center in Augusta, Georgia, are back in custody. Authorities say the teens knocked out a deputy and escaped into the woods. During a press conference with Egypt's foreign minister, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said an Israeli ground incursion in Rafah could worsen the humanitarian conditions there. A federal appeals court ordered the judge who oversaw Boston Marathon bomber Jakar Sanarev's trial to investigate defense claims of juror bias. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. You'll now know when political ads in Wisconsin use AI. Governor Evers signed a bill requiring disclaimers when the ads have AI-generated content on Thursday. Wisconsin is now the 10th state to require the disclaimers. Democratic State Senator Mark Spreitzer was one of the authors of the bill. He said that Wisconsin is leading the country in safeguarding elections from AI interference. Governor Evers says Wisconsinites are embracing mental health care, but he only got about 10% of what he asked lawmakers for in the state budget. He says student-led efforts are helping pick up the slack.
I visited several schools over the last 4 years that they have great mental health programming going in some places that you would never expect.
More with Evers on The Empowered Caregiver this weekend on Civic Media. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
Oh. You do look like a...
beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter weather advisory goes into effect in the overnight. We'll see total accumulations across the area between 2 to 5, even 6 inches of snowfall before it's all said and done. Overnight lows in the mid-20s. Afternoon highs Friday in the middle 30s. Right now it's 28.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From I-43 to I-41.
This is the Talk of Green Bay.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic, or NAC, in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, I love that tagline. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're here with Robert Lilligren from the Native American Community Development Institute. And Robert, I got to tell you a quick story. So every once in a while, yeah, I mess that up, and then I switch it with Native American Community Clinic. And just so you don't feel bad, I do the opposite to him, to Dr. Staley.
No, yeah, so I know, I'm very aware. A lot of folks. We'll get their mail, they get our mail, and we're just sort of kitty corner from each other on the American Indian Cultural Corridor on East Franklin, Minneapolis. So not surprising. But yeah, you're not the only one.
Oh, now I feel better because I am a radio professional.
Yes, you are.
Or I play one on TV. That's more like it. But hey, really great conversations today as always. And I always used to enjoy when we did a pre-record two-hour show back in the day. Our conversation before the show that we record was always a lot of fun. And I feel a kinship to you because we're similar to age and gone through a lot of the same things. Oh, yeah. And again, I grew up with your father on the radio, so it's always great talking to you and hearing what's happening. And you're so plugged in and do so much for the community, and it's awesome. It really is. Yeah. I feel like
back at you. Put all of that back at you for sure. And I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the platform. I never feel like I do enough. So it's a pleasure to be here.
So let's talk a little national things. I just don't know. Have you been paying attention to the impeachment at all?
I've been paying attention a little. Okay. And it doesn't seem like that's really going to go anywhere. It doesn't even, people who supported the impeachment in Congress in the past are kind of backing away. And so at some point, it's just going to kind of wind down. And I did see that the executive office, the president's office, said, we're done.
Yeah.
We're done with this process. You know, Congress, we've answered all of your questions. So I feel if the president says he's done, I feel like it's fair for us to say we're done.
It's funny because someone yesterday during the session was saying that this sounds like more of an impeachment of Trump than it does Biden. So it's just like, or just to trying to have it out in front and, you know, get all this misinformation out there. And it's just like, what a waste of money. And I feel like a lot of that happens, and we are so grateful to have our trifecta here in Minnesota, because we've run into Republicans that are not for things. That's what they run on, not for things, instead of maybe enlightening and fixing things. They're not for things.
Right. And how productive is that in governance? You know, and as someone who was in government for a long time, it's most effective when people can sit, negotiate. Really, I felt almost all part of governance, certainly legislation, was negotiations, find common ground, create a piece of legislation or an end product that represents most people's best interest. I mean, just talking about that, I would think that's how government's supposed to work. And
it
kind of feels like halcyon days talking about that now.
Well, and it's interesting too. You mentioned last week, I think, or I had a dream. You know how it is when you're my age, Robert, but that you were kind of surprised when you became a city council person that not everyone was on the same page of, like, let's help people. Instead, there was a lot of haggling, a lot of political stuff and backstabbing in the background, and that wasn't always the focus.
Right. Well, what really surprised me is I kind of started to learn about government. I was a resident activist, you know, a community activist, and I just found my way to some policy tables and stuff where different units of government would be represented and elected officials might be there. And it just floored me to learn that they didn't all get along. They didn't agree. I mean, I was a fairly mature person at that time. And so it was really shocking to learn that government wasn't this unified thing working for my best interest. But there were units of government and they undermined each other. They were acting not in the best interests of the community. And yeah, so it was a little bit of an eye opener. And then getting into government, back during my time of being at the same township, it was a fairly cordial, collegial group. We focused on database decision making rather than transactional or horse trade or relationship based, and I really liked that. And it feels a little different in our city hall now. It feels like it's more about relationships or brinksmanship than it is about database, governing.
Mm-hmm. I had a former student call me or message me on Facebook. She's coming back from Brooklyn, and I think she was a class of 2010 or 12, and she's coming back doing work, and she wanted to know my opinion. But all the way out there, people have heard about St. Paul's City Council, which is everyone's under 40, and they're all women, and all of them are BIPOC except one. And so we're really happy as heck to have that here in the Twin City over here, St. Mm-hmm. Paul.
No, hats off to St. Paul. It's a good, progressive, common sense kind of council. It's very young. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's all women, which I think is thrilling, and super majority BIPOC. And so, and it seems like they're doing a pretty good job. It's a very new council, and so they're yet to be tested too much, but it seems like they get it.
Right. I was going to ask you, and you kind of touched on that just a few minutes ago about being on the city council. And prior to that, what made you run for city council? I've never asked you that.
Oh, okay. Way back when, I was very engaged in my community, primarily at a very grassroots level, organizing in the community and things. And I was serving on 8 different community-based kind of boards or councils or advisory groups at this point. So I was coming into contact with the system and could see the decisions that were being made. And I was a small business person. I was developing rehabbing houses right on my block in the Phillips area. And so I was in the city a lot. And I started to learn a little about the city. And I thought, well, it can't be this hard. Why is it so hard to do business with the city? And then seeing these decisions, and in the Phillips area, which was a blighted and rapidly redeveloping part of the city, there were just all these big decisions being made that benefited the corporate presence and the developer, and was really just scraping a lot of my neighbors in the residential communities away. Well, that's not right. And so I kind of saw 3 big decisions that were coming down the pike. I was not at all satisfied with the quality of the decisions that would come from the elected people. So I really ran to have a platform, right, to lift these community perspectives up. And I think a lot of people thought I was the last person that would ever win an elected office, And, in 2001 I won and was elected to 3 terms and really enjoyed my service on the Minneapolis City Council. Did my best and learned a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and you were the first Native American, were you the first openly gay male, too?
No, I wasn't. I was actually the second. I mean, this gets kind of technical, but Brian Coyle, legendary community-level representative and good friend of the Native community, was the first openly gay elected to the city council back in, it was probably, don't quote me on the year, 92.
Wow.
maybe 90, somewhere around that. And then the year I was elected, there were two other openly gay council members elected as well. So kind of made a little national splash in the LGBTQ world. But yeah, so suddenly we had three. And I'll tell you, you know, I was just talking to someone else about this because on a board I serve on, we just recruited another Native representative, Shelley Buck, former Prairie Island elected, who now runs an organization here right in downtown Minneapolis called Owomni Omiokadayapi, around the falls here, and she's just doing brilliant work. So she's joined the board of Meet Minneapolis, where I chair, and so we're just, I was making this observation that when you're the one in the room or the one voice at the table, it's one thing. But suddenly when there's another one, it's something else, right? So in Minneapolis, it's having two Native voices suddenly speaking. But back when I was elected to the Minneapolis City Council in 2001, suddenly we had three openly gay men. And it just, it changed things, you know? It's different when you have allies.
Definitely. It was interesting too. You had a lot to do with the Greenaway, didn't you? The bike
park? That was before I was elected. I served on the board of what's called the Midtown Greenway Coalition. And at the time, it was primarily an advocacy group to build a citywide bike freeway, essentially, along a rail corridor that goes from the Mississippi River to our chain of lakes. So literally across the entire segment of South Minneapolis. And so I was on the board there and an advocate for the, not just that investment, but more investment in biking and walking, active transportation options. And during my time on city council and since, actually, with the transportation policy planning funding became kind of an area of special work and knowledge. It's very convoluted and arcane and,
Well, I saw pictures of before and after a couple of weeks ago that went on Facebook, and it's amazing what happened down there for that bikeway. It's amazing.
Right. Right. Well, and I lived just right there on 29th Avenue, 29th Street and 3rd Avenue. So I remember when it was abandoned, there were a series of grisly murders of Native women where some of the bodies were left there. And I knew that that was going to be transformational. I was going to bring new people into our community where people can mix and learn about each other. And it's been wildly successful.
Yes, definitely. Hey, Robert, this has been fun. And we even got a chance to hear some history, which I didn't know. And our, I'm sure our listening audience didn't. So we really appreciate you and appreciate you coming on.
It is always a pleasure. Yigawabam and Haley, Robert.
Right on. Right on. Hey, Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back after this short break, Haley.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
All My Relations Arts presents Okizi. Okizi means to heal, and the exhibition highlights the healing power of cultural revitalization for Native communities. Okizi showcases prints, mixed media, textiles, beadwork, digital collage, and glass sculptures by Native American and Sami artists. It explores indigenous communities' active healing efforts through language revitalization, land back movements, and embracing traditional knowledge. Visit All My Relations Arts to experience Okizi through April 13th. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Hey, if you're like a lot of people, you're probably relieved that the holiday celebrations are over. But there's one thing that might stay with us from the holidays besides all those gifts, and that's COVID-19. Numbers from COVID are going up as we spend more time inside. And Native Americans are seeing even bigger case spikes. With all the indoor celebrations over the holidays, you may have unknowingly been exposed to someone with COVID-19. That's why it's important to stay vigilant. If you notice any symptoms like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, take an at-home test.
They're still free and can be ordered at sayyeshometest.org. If you do test positive, you're eligible for free treatment, and no health insurance is required. Visit health.state.mn.us to connect with providers and receive your treatment. Let's make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
How?
What do I have on? Oh, I have my wild shirt on. I thought, what shirt do I have on?
Oh.
Awesome to hear from Robert, and he sent me a text apologizing that his fan was loud on his computer and it's about to blow up.
Yeah, so I thought it sounded like a wind turbine.
I was going to say maybe we can have a GoFundMe and get him another laptop. Oh,
yeah, there we go. Hey, speaking of funding,
yeah?
I want to shout out Christine McDonald and Bob Rice of Bob is owns Powwow Grounds here in Minneapolis, and they're going to be doing a Indian Taco fundraiser next Monday, the 25th, at 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I have to go to that because you know it's Powwow Grounds Indian Tacos,
right? And it's it's for the celebration of Thanksgiving Powwow that's coming up. I heard and. It says Thanksgiving, but we like to say Thanks-taking here on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, and it looks like they're changing that name, too. Like, thankfully, it'll be the Minneapolis Celebration Powwow.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, what else is going on? I don't know what's going on here. I'm going to be in New York working on, our natives, hanging out with natives in New York. And it's funny, Wendy and I are going to go see a famous lady that has been doing her thing for 80 years. I can't think of her name, but she has, she does all the animal stuff, and we're going to go see her speak. And so that's going to be exciting when we get into the city.
Yeah, absolutely. What else is going on? Well, that Indian Tacos fundraiser will be happening at the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe Building, 1308 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. And then also next Monday is NAC, Native American Community Clinic's Full Moon Ceremony, again happening at the Little Earth Gym in Minneapolis, Monday the 25th. And then next Tuesday, March 26th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Minneapolis American Indian Center is hosting a hiring fair at their temporary office at Many Rivers East off of East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. You can bring your resume if you have one, and there will also be job applications on site, which, you know, sounds like a really great resource.
Yeah, it really does. I'm sorry I'm going to miss that because there's always a lot of opportunity to amplify people's voice that are going to be there tabling. And we've partnered with a lot of the groups that will be there looking for people, the workers. And it's still at that point where we have a shortage of workers, and a lot of it has to do, and maybe you can help me with this, Haley, I believe a lot of it has to do with the low wages that people did not want to return to after the pandemic.
Yeah, or like Robert was talking about, bosses that just micromanage you.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it'll be, you know, I think too, just the benefits, the lack of benefits in healthcare is also a reason why people... I guess just are a little bit more picky when it comes to job placement. But another event coming up, this is a big one. So shout out to our Minnesota State MMIR office. They'll be holding a community search for Jeremy Jourdain in Red Lake, Minnesota, who was seen last in 2016. Yes. Mm. So they will be meeting at the Seven Clans Casino next Saturday, March 30th, beginning at 8:30 a.m. They'll be hosting two different search shifts, and they'll be held one in the morning, and then the second one will be held from 1:30 to 5. Red Lake Nation does require volunteers to sign up to do that. You can email anna.g.negrete, N-E-G-R-E-T-E, at stateminnesota.us. Weather looks like we'll have temps in the 30s next weekend in Red Lake with a chance of snow. So dress for the weather. You're going to be outside. And just thank you to everyone showing up and volunteering their time on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, and I like the fact that our relatives are not forgotten, you know, and so it's a heartfelt thank you, Big Peeny Geeky, to these organizations that still look for our relatives that have been gone. You know, it hasn't been a couple of weeks. It's been a year or so. And so we're excited about that.
Yes. Again, this community search for Jeremy with the MMIR office will be happening next Saturday in Red Lake. And you can contact the Bemidji Police Department or submit an anonymous tip to crimestoppersminnesota.org if you know anything about Jeremy or his whereabouts.
Mm-hmm. Really good. Really good thing to bring up. Really.
Yeah. Well, while we're on the topic of MMI, I just wanted to shout out our friend Ricky Medlock's new single, Never Run Out of Road, which every play donates to the National MMIR office, and MMI standing for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. So well, go stream that, and every stream will donate to that.
Well, that'll be good when you have your music show here on the mighty AM 950. You'll be able to play him once a week and get some...
Yo, bumper music.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. What else is going on? I know I'm still just kind of, I want to try and get outside and do my walk because I haven't walked today. And, you know, I walk a good 10 to 15,000 steps a day in the early in the morning. I wasn't able to get out, but I want to get out before the big snowstorm. And, you know, I'm old now. I want to be careful. I don't want to slip and break my hip.
Yeah, I know. No more round dancing for you.
Ooh, that always messes up my hip.
Mm-hmm. I got to break out my skis.
Yeah. And, you know, I saw somebody skiing with their dog. It was kind of a TikTok famous thing, and it was funny. But this person had no poles, too. And I know you ski without poles, and that's made me think of you.
Yeah. Well, I grew up skiing without poles, okay? And that's just how I learned. And I just realized... I think I kind of looked a little dumb out there without poles. So I started skiing with them. Okay. And I didn't know there's a correct way to hold your poles or strap them on your wrists, apparently. Yeah. So yeah, it's a thing. I guess you can get skiers' thumbs, and it's actually a UCL tear in your thumb.
Oh,
so I have that.
Right. That's right. Jeez. I was wondering why you're wearing that sling.
Yeah.
And
but,
seeing that I don't micromanage you as an employee, I was afraid to ask, but now I'm asking here on live radio.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. You can ask as my uncle. But...
Yeah, there you, not as your boss.
There you go.
That's right. Jeez. And if, for all you that are first checking in, Chujunk means niece. So when I say that in the beginning of the show, and I make Haley agree with me once a day with Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I play the applause too, but Chujunk means niece.
Yes. And I most of the time will reply with Daga, which means uncle in Ho-Chunk. So there's a little Ho-Chunk language for you.
Yeah. A little class here we're having over the air here for you people that are considering speaking Ho-Chunk.
Yeah, which, speaking of Ho-Chunk, we should go to classes. We should go to language every Wednesday,
which
is very cool that they have that.
Right, and there's more opportunities than that. And but you're right. They want the instructor that's fluent wants you to be there. So there's no quick kind of, you know,
yeah,
over Zoom or whatever.
Yeah, probably best to be there.
Yeah. Well, when I come back from New York, we'll make sure we start going, and maybe you'll come here and do the show with this cleaned up studio, and then we'll go right right there. Yeah. Hey, if you are listening to the show, Haley, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote. We're still here. We are.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.